The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN125.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
2-1 now. Porcello kicks, delivers. Stang at a high fly ball right field. Going back, Betts. Betts at the track, at the wall, leaps. And he knocks it back towards the infield. Betts will fire it back in. Springer towards third. Altuve into second. And they're going to call him out for fan interference. Betts went to make the grab. And I believe a fan touched Mookie Betts. And so Joe West out there is going to say that's an out because the fan interfered. And here comes A.J. Hinch. They're going to take the headsets off and out. And the fans not happy. A.J. Hinch having a little chat with Chris Guccione.
It's hard for me to say something when, you know, it doesn't matter what I said, but I'm not going to change it. You know? So, I normally don't get mad about it. Umpire's call. That one, I was, you know, a little upset.
Well, last night could have gone better. Maybe tonight will. Let's do this. It's a Carback Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carback Brewing. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the birthday boy, today back in studio keeping us on air as we broadcast live from Carback Brewery, one of our favorite places on the planet. And if you're just getting off work and you're looking for a place to come and get some great beer and some terrific food and hear some average radio, come on out.
Yeah. What's good, man?
Not much, man. Ready to rock and roll today. If you want to get
in. Are you, though? Your computer says otherwise.
My computer says about 17 minutes remaining for this update. That's my only beef about Max is that about once a month you get some update, right?
Right.
And I know you deal with this all the time. And it just automatically starts doing it. So
I've gotten mine to where they'll do it in the middle of the night now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I need to do that. Because I'm only on my computer about 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it wants to do it when I'm at home doing stuff, that's fine. But no, as soon as I log on here, about 33 minutes remaining. So we're down to 17 minutes. But the good news is I don't really need my computer for the first few segments anyway, because we got plenty to talk about. If you want to get in today. We don't take calls on the road, so sorry about that. But you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow, the zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. Can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and I won't see those until the computer finishes doing its thing, but you can text anyway. And you can't watch us on live stream because we're at Carback. And this may be the first time I've ever been here and not had a beer.
Yeah.
And all I can think about is, you know, I really could use a BBH with cherries.
But, that'd be good.
Yeah, you know, or just
they've got some of the research and development beers up there on the wall. So
I see that. They got the Hellfighter, the original Hellfighter, which I love.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, sorry. So I'm going to have to pass on the beer. But that's all right. You don't have to. I'm leaving more for the people. I'm being considerate. Right? Isn't that a nice thing to do? Well, not a good night in Houston sports last night between your Rockets. That was so bad when I got home. I was flipping between the two. They were already down. They've given up 70 points at halftime by the time I got home on the Rockets. I'm like, okay, well, I'm no point watching the rest of this.
I watched that game this morning, and I'm hoping that's not an indicator of what 2018-19 Rockets basketball is, because that was back to 2016 defensive effort.
Yeah.
And that's not going to get it done. That was a really poor showing. And, you know, it's the first game of the season. Maybe it's you're going to have some guys who are working their way into.
They've got new guys all over the place.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about that. But spent the rest of the time watching the baseball. And, you know, a lot of thoughts from that, as I'm sure you have as well.
Oh, yes.
One of those.
I was praying the Astros would win last night so our whole show wouldn't be dominated by one play.
But they didn't.
And they lost by exactly two runs.
Yeah, and that's one where you just look at it and go, oh, boy. And the reality is, and I know this is going to get beaten to death,
I haven't heard your take on it.
Well, I didn't see enough to overturn it at the time. I think it was a bad call by Joe West. Let's start with that.
That's fair.
But
remember, Joe West has to make that call in real time,
right.
With the naked eye.
Right.
He didn't get to go look, like, see it in slow-mo and go, yeah, it does look like he went straight. He didn't go straight up. I mean, that's a tough job, man.
It is.
And people are saying, well, he shouldn't have made a call until they figured it out. That's not how umpiring or refereeing works. You've got to make your best judgment call, and then they go to the monitor and check it.
And so it's hard for me to criticize that because live – from his angle, I can't tell. You know,
it's tough.
It looked to me like Betts had gone over the fence.
The thing that
I'm watching it on TV. I'm not watching it live there from his angle, so I can't. But I think in the end, it was okay. So if he makes a bad call, that's great. You go to the video. If there's enough to overturn it, then you overturn it. I don't think there was enough to overturn it. Now I've seen angles today that maybe they didn't have at the time, where I'm like, whoa, that's
well.
Bad.
Here's the deal with the MLB. And this is such a dinosaur system that they've got. They're going to start imploring replay. So, okay, we got a new replay system. We've got a guy in New York who's going to look over everything, and he'll make the judgment call. Except you would think if they do that, they're going to go to every stadium and put cameras up everywhere to make sure they've got all these angles. No, they're just going to rely on whatever the TV station who happens to be broadcasting that game, they're going to rely on their camera guys. That seems like you're asking for trouble.
It does, and so I don't know what they had access to, but the one view that I finally saw today was, I think, from center field, mm-hmm. and it was pretty obvious he had gone over the fence.
But
I don't know that they had that at the time.
Right.
And I saw probably 100 replays before I saw that one. So
here's the other problem. Did at any point any of those fans that were playing their hands around, did any of them go over that yellow line, even a half inch, and make contact with
him? It didn't look like it from that angle that I saw finally today. But everything else I saw, you couldn't tell.
You can't tell.
If you're an Astros fan, you're looking at it, oh, no way, no way. If you're a Red Sox fan, it's like, oh, of course he's over the line. Just depends on your perspective. I'm trying to look at it as you know, unbiased as possible, and I could not see.
Well, I think the way to look at it is, can you say 100% you'll bet your retirement fund that there was no fan interference on that?
I might bet your retirement fund.
Thanks.
Yeah. I want to keep mine.
Okay, but it's got to be 100%.
Right.
That's irrefutable evidence means, and they didn't have any.
And what this reminds me of was the Music City Miracle. If you had called that a forward pass live, there's no way you could have overturned it.
Agreed.
If you'd called it what you did, there's no way you could overturn it. And I kind of think this one came down to, okay, that's the call he made. And, you know, again, it's not easy. I know that. I always would tend, in those situations, it's like when there's a fumble in football, I tend not to blow the whistle. In that case where I think it's – it can be reviewed. I'm probably not going to call it out there if it's me. I'm going to let it play out and see what the review says. But, you know, it's – I just can't get too – I can't sit here and say that they completely got it wrong. All I can look at is say they probably got it wrong, but I can see how it happened. So
I mean, Joe, that's the rules. I think you can say Joe West got it wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the replay guy –
I don't blame the replay guy for not overturning it.
And I'm guessing they didn't have that center field shot, because if they had, I think they would have overturned it. And that's something I guess I'll have to find out exactly what they were looking at. But yeah, Wes got it wrong. But guess what? They get it wrong.
They get it wrong all the time. That's why they've got replay. But replay is not a flawless system. We see it in the NFL.
Right.
And
how many times have we argued over stuff? We're both looking at the same thing, and it's like, oh, no.
Oh, that's a catch. That's not a catch.
That's not a catch.
Come
on.
His knee's down. Yeah. No, the ball's coming out there.
And 100 people can look at it and see 100 different things.
Yeah. It's a tough call to make, man. And I don't envy Joe West being in that position. It sucks for the Astros for sure. But that's the game, man. That's baseball.
You know what else, Joe?
You know what? 10 years ago, they call that ball fan interference on the field. There's not even a review. It's just
right.
That's what it is. At least you had a shot.
It would be equally controversial, though.
Of course,
in that situation, when you make that kind of a call, it's going to be a big deal.
You know, let me. I don't know when they went away from this. I know. I guess it's all about fan experience now. But when I was a kid, and I don't remember the Astrodome as well because I was younger, but I remember going to the old ballpark at Arlington. And if you sat...
Say the old ballpark at Arlington. It's not that old.
No, the old...
the one before that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was... But that wasn't called the ballpark.
What was it called?
I don't remember. That's the one I used to go to all the time, too.
I thought it was called the ballpark at Arlington.
That was the relatively new one that they're replacing.
Arlington Stadium, it was called.
It was Arlington Stadium,
yes. Okay, so at Arlington Stadium, there was... So if you sat in the outfield, even if you sat in the front row of the outfield... If you looked straight down, you were looking behind the fence. There was about a 2-3 foot gap between the fence and where the seats were. And you were raised up above the actual fence. So if there's a wall scraper home run, you don't have a shot at it. But I don't know if that's the answer is to – but too often and let's be honest, whatever way they called that last night, there's going to be a fan base pissed off.
Right.
I mean, can we agree that, you know, it's going to happen again? And these calls are clearly so close that, one person sees one thing, one sees another. I feel like these fans, it's going to be an epidemic eventually of just reaching into the play. Or, I mean, honestly, think about this.
Well, it kind of is an epidemic. We see it almost at least a few times a week around the league that stuff like that's happening. And when it happens in, you know, obviously, you're talking about the biggest stage right now, it comes out more. But, I think the point you're getting to is that maybe the fans shouldn't be that close, and maybe that fence should be higher. And if it is, that's not a home run.
Right.
So that wouldn't solve your – if you're trying to figure out a way to get it to be a home run, that wouldn't solve it. But I do think, you know, and I've always said this about Minute Maid. I had a friend who used to have seats right behind third base. Or first base, excuse me. I mean, first row.
Oh, wow. You had a rich friend.
Yeah, he was great. And, of course, nobody ever went to the games because that was when they sucked.
Oh,
so
okay.
We went to a bunch a year. But it's dangerous down there.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a foul ball in your face, you could do some serious damage. Bats go flying down there. And from there, to me, that could easily be fixed. You should put a screen up. And I mean, the NHL had to do it. And I think baseball – I mean, that's a different topic, but I do think baseball needs to do that. But when you get to the outfield, maybe raise the fence a little bit so, you know, it's not.
Or put a basket up.
Yeah, something.
Because, honestly, do we want – and I know last night, obviously, is a different conversation because it didn't work out for the Astros. But do you want to take away – if you're baseball, do you want to take away an outfielder's ability to jump up and rob a home run?
I don't.
Think about those highlights of King Griffey Jr. with his arm hanging over the wall, stealing home runs from Albert Bell or Jesse Barfield. Like, that was awesome. That's what you want to see. But now when fans do it, now it's like, oh, well, is he allowed to be in there? Or the fans allowed? I mean, dude, let's take that away. I understand wanting to be close to the action, but a couple feet separation between, like, the playing surface, which is that yellow line, and some drunk guy with a beer isn't the end of the world. Like that, I mean, that's the last thing you need is some drunk guy reaching over and costing your team a playoff game.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we'll never know. We'll never know if Mookie Betts makes that catch or not.
Well,
which is kind of unfortunate.
It is. I'll be honest. I think if the guy doesn't hit him, he makes the catch. But if he's in the stands, the guy's perfectly within his rights.
Do you think that Mookie Betts closed his own glove or someone's hand closed his glove?
I think someone hit his glove and forced it to close. It looked like it to me. But that doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. If he's in the stands, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And, you know, but yeah, if I think there's not fans there, I think he makes the catch.
Let me ask you this, Fred. Let's say he is his upper body's in the stands trying to make the catch, but someone's hand is grabbing onto the wall so their fingers are over that yellow line and he bumps into their arm. Then both guys are in the wrong? What do you call there?
Yeah, I don't know, but that to me isn't what happens. So.
No, I'm just saying if it does, though. Like, the rules, it's got – that's why I'm saying there needs to be some sort of a separation. And I was surprised they didn't kick that guy out. I mean, that's a – usually if there's fan interference, that's an insta ejection. And I was like, man, that sucks for him. That's an early ejection from some really pricey seats.
Yep.
But instead, he had to wait through the whole game and then have ABC 13 interview him like jackasses after the game.
See, I would be totally cool with getting kicked out after the seventh inning when they can't sell beer anymore.
Right.
Especially
that's the time
in a five-hour game. Yeah,
that's the time to go.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. The music's been going for a while, I think. A lot to get to, a lot of other stuff from the game. And we'll have fantasy talk today. We'll have gambling talk, lots of Astros. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And Sports Map 94.1.
All right, guys, let me tell you about my good friends over at Bill Advisor. If you have more money than you know what to do with, you don't need to listen to me. But if you could use a few more bucks, it's time for you to get in with Bill Advisor. If you've got a cell phone, you pay for TV, internet, electricity, home and auto insurance, you're overpaying for those things, all your monthly recurring bills. You started out getting a great price, but your bill goes up. It always does. That's what Bill Advisor is there to fix. They're going to work with your providers, reduce your monthly rates. You don't have to lower your service. You're just lowering your bill. And our listeners are saving, man. They guarantee they're going to save you at least $300. Guaranteed, money back, guaranteed, lock. And if most of our listeners are saving over $800 a year, many are saving well into the thousands. I've seen some as high as $4,000, which is just crazy. There's still no setup fee. Guys, start saving now. Text the word GO to 232323, and your personal bill advisor is going to get your information, start working for you. One more time, just text GO to 232323 or go to billadvisor.com and click Start Saving.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz live from Carbach. Come on out. Apparently our buddy Jay Rapp's here. So, yeah, there he is over at the bar. So come on out, man, if you're just getting in your car. Lots of great beer, lots of great food. Love this place. And now we'll get back to the Astros next segment. Right now we're going to talk a little fantasy with our buddy Christopher Harris, harrisfootball.com, a fantasy genius. So if you have fantasy questions and not, you know, should I start this guy or this guy, he's got rankings for that. So does AJ. But you got some general questions, hit me up on the text line and I'll be happy to share them. Christopher, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I can't believe you're talking to me, though, because you know who I root for in baseball, right?
Yeah, we're pretending like you don't exist on that front today. So,
if it's any consolation, I don't really care that much.
Well, the reality is, this is weird for me. I really like this Red Sox team. I kind of like the players.
Yeah.
I just hate Boston fan. You know, pretty much Boston fan across the board is the worst.
Yep.
So it's hard for me to be happy for them, but it's hard for me to dislike
this
team. How
about person from Boston in general is the worst?
Well, yeah, I think anyone from Boston or anyone who lives in Boston.
You're an a-hole.
Yeah, you're a terrible human
being.
Yeah,
that's all right, though. We'll forgive you, Chris.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Just because you're coming on with us.
We know you've got some Texas in you, too.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 10 or 15 way tie for first. I'm not going to disagree with you. There's just a lot of other terrible places, too.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not like we live in the paradise of the universe here.
Hey, Chris, Devontae Freeman, they finally just throw the towel in with him. He's not going to, well, if he plays anymore this season, it won't matter to fantasy teams. And everybody assumes that Tevin Coleman is going to be the main beneficiary, but to me, the way it's looked the last few weeks, Ito Smith may have something to say about that. What do you think of how they're going to split the carries between those two guys?
I mean, I can't tell you how they're going to split them, but I can say Ito Smith's a nice player. He does belong to that undersized, and he's real undersized. You know, he's more undersized than Devontae Freeman. It's tough for me to imagine he's the main guy. The question for me comes down to, like, how much of a drain is he on Tevin Coleman? And for 1 week, I'd probably be more willing to take the bet on Coleman this week than I feel like I would be on Smith. Smith has scored a touchdown in three straight. If you watch how those touchdowns happened, I mean, two of them were actually like interior runs, but they're, you know, if anybody touches him, he falls down. He's really small. So a really nice balance, sort of maybe a Philip Lindsay, like even a smaller version of Philip Lindsay. So very much on the, I mean, who among, even Devontae Freeman, you know, who among any of these guys has a job to himself? There's like five guys. And I agree with you that Tevin Coleman won't be one of them. And I'm not sure Tevin Coleman's great. I think he's okay. He's good. You know, he reminds me of Darren McFadden.
Raheem Mostert, he looks like he's
better than he is. And then, like, maybe he's more athlete than football player. But for the moment, at least until I see what happens Monday night, I would probably go Coleman over Smith.
Raheem Mostert in San Francisco looks, I mean, he looked like he basically said, Alfred Morris, you've sucked for 5 weeks. You're not going to play anymore. Kyle Shanahan comes out and says that's not necessarily true. Is that him just saying the nice thing about a veteran? Because I haven't seen Alfred Morris look like that in about 5 years. So what's the backfield situation in San Francisco look like now?
I mean, if Raheem Mostert is really the answer, then a lot of NFL teams have something to answer for, because that was the most carries he's ever had in a game by like an order of magnitude of a million. He's not really anything other than just a body, as far as I'm concerned. So if Alfred Morris is really on the outs because of that, I don't think he's on the – if he's on the outs, it's because that offense isn't very good when it tries to be a zone-running type of offense. To be a zone-running type of offense, you have to have a fairly sophisticated kind of offensive line, and you have to have a functional passing game, because if you don't have a functional passing game, they're just going to stand there and wait for you to cut back and be there when you get in, you know, you get tackled. So – to me, this is more an acknowledgement that, all right, with C.J. Beathard as our quarterback, we're probably not going to be the offense that we thought we might be that would support a zone runner like Alfred Morris. And therefore, let's put in some more athletic guys. Matt Breida is the most of the athletic guys. I just don't think that Raheem Mostert is. I mean, I'm in a 16-team league, and I added him, but I didn't even feel good about it then. I have a feeling he's going to be sinking back into the quagmire.
Christopher Harris, our guest, harrisfootball.com. Chris, where do you put Melvin Gordon now based on where you had him before the season? This is about what you expected, or have you bumped him up a little bit?
He's been bumped up a little bit by dint of other people being bumped down. I had him as a first-rounder. I think by this point, most people had him as a first-round fantasy pick. But I get to claim credit that when his yards per carry was low and then he didn't score any touchdowns as a rookie and people said, well, he's just bad at football, I actually hung in there and said he's really good and will be good. So he's sort of one of my guys. He's a really good player. He's probably a notch down from the elite players at the position and makes up for it with a huge workload, but still being only one notch down from someone like Todd Gurley or Saquon Barkley, you're still pretty darn good. Love him, rock solid. I feel like barring injury, there shouldn't be any reason. I remember, you know, even the beginning of this year, people trying to tell me, well, Austin Eckler is obviously better. Look at that yards per carry. You know, just if you're data mining in baseball, it gets you somewhere. If you're data mining in football, it gets you Austin Eckler as your starting running back.
So when I'm looking at streamers or playing daily fantasy, I'm going out of my way to get guys who are playing against the Bucks, the Falcons, the Niners, and the Chiefs. And one guy who falls into that category this week happens to be Eli Manning. Are you willing to take a chance with a guy like that?
I'm willing if in a season long fantasy league where I have Aaron Rodgers and he's on bye, I'm willing to say, all right, well, of the flotsam and jetsam that I've got on the waiver wire, I would take a shot on Eli. On the podcast, he was my streamer of the week when we did waivers on Tuesday for among quarterbacks. Boy, it feels like in DFS, probably it's just maybe more, you know, we were having this actually on Thursdays when we talked DFS, and I had this long conversation with my guy who's on the show about the philosophy when scoring is so up and the passing games are so up. It used to be if you played a cash game on DraftKings, you wanted Willie Snead, you wanted Julian Edelman, you wanted the guys you knew were going to lock in 12 points cheap because, you know, I hit a couple home runs, everybody else is kind of flatline, cool, I'm going to be in the money. And boy, with the points that are getting racked up now, you have to hit a home run on, you know, six or seven of your guys. And I guess Eli could be a sort of a counterintuitive play. It could happen. I probably wouldn't pick him in DFS. It just feels like at that price point, you can probably find, you know, I'll play Matthew Stafford. I'll play maybe Jameis Winston again. Like, it feels like I can get non-Eli type players for similar price.
On the other note, I'm really looking to avoid teams that are playing the Ravens. And this week, it happens to be an elite offensive team in New Orleans. How much have you downgraded guys like Breeze and the running backs and Michael Thomas, the receivers? How much all of these guys are being downgraded this week going against that defense?
Well, this is, again, the beauty of the difference between season-long and daily. Like, in season-long, I just play my guys. When they're really, really good, I just play my guys. And if I rise and fall a little bit, I mean, that's okay. That's sort of why you build that risk into your season-long lineup. But I'm 100% with you for daily. Why tempt fate? You know, you just don't need to play it that way. If I had the ability to make my season-long team anybody for this week, and I wasn't going to get Drew Brees next week too, I wouldn't pick Drew Brees. I'd pick someone else, right? But because I know, okay, I'll scuffle through this one week with Drew Brees, and next week, cool, we'll be back to a matchup that I like. And it's not like he can't succeed against Baltimore, but it's harder. This is sort of the beauty of daily. I'm sort of with you. Those guys aren't worth the price in daily for this week.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Check him out. HarrisFootball.com, podcast, YouTube channel, does everything you need to know about fantasy. Christopher, great stuff. We'll forgive you for who you root for just because you come on the show, but we'll talk to you again next week, man.
You have to put the word root in quotation marks. Did I watch the end of last night's game? I did not watch the end of last night's game. We're good, man.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. You're not a hardcore.
Yeah, you're forgiven then. All right.
Not a hardcore.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Christopher Harris. Do we have something here, John, or... There's the music.
I can barely
hear
that's
a problem. Yeah.
I think I'm getting older. John needs to crank it up.
Yeah, see, I know I'm old because I never hear the music when we're on road shows. And so I'll listen. Like, that's why I went silent for a second. Like, is there music? No. And then there was music. So I'm just an old man who can't hear anymore. All these years of having my head in front of an amplifier, and then now I always keep headphones cranked way up. I'm sure I've done damage to my ear. All right. Quick break. We'll get back to the Astros when we return. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
This is Tony Kinn with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz, with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. Yeah, I root for Tony Kemp every time he goes up because
of that.
He recognizes we're the number one sports show in the city.
You're saying game recognized game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, man, that was so cool when he hit that homer last night. There's a lot to get to from this game.
Although he did have one of the...
Yeah, that
boof moments.
I don't understand. Yeah, if they're playing the Indians, go for second.
Yeah.
But against that Red Sox outfield, against Betts especially, that dude's got such a cannon.
That Red Sox outfield is one of the best defensive outfields you'll ever see.
I mean, I'm all for aggression, but that was a not wise, guys. The one thing that we really haven't talked about, and I mean, the game itself, and we'll forget the controversy for a minute. And I want to read this text because it's a pretty good point. As an Astros fan, yes, I was mad about the call. As a baseball fan, it was the first inning, and the Astros had the 8 innings to make it up, and they didn't, from Steven. And that's in part true. They had every opportunity to win the game. I think there were some strategic things that they did that didn't, you know, maybe didn't make sense that cost them. There were some bonehead plays like that. You can't really do that against the Red Sox. You can't make a ton of mistakes. And, you know, Correa missing second on the double play. Little things like that. Having said that, I mean, other than the fact that I dozed off during a pitching change because it was late and I'm old, and the game was long, one hell of a baseball game. And it had so much to it. It had controversy. It had a game-winning play at the end that was fantastic. It had clutch players coming up with huge plays. It was just it was the kind of game that if you're an Astros fan, you won last year against the Dodgers. So you're kind of on the other side of it today. And having said all that, I remain optimistic. If you look at it like, okay, they have to win three in a row against this team, that's impossible. But if you just kind of take it more in pieces, okay, you got Verlander on the mound tonight. You should be favored. Obviously, have to win.
They are favored. I mean, massively. Minus 185, I think.
Yeah, so, okay, you get your win tonight. You'll have a game six with Garrett Cole on the mound against who knows what you're going to get out of Chris Sale, who's now 60 pounds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he may go out there and dominate, but at least there's a question there, right? You feel better about a healthy Garrett Cole than you do Chris Sale puking more than I did yesterday.
Right.
So, and then if you get to a game seven, you know, we know anything can happen there. You could throw Verlander again. There's all kinds of things you can do. But if at least get it to a game seven, you take your chance with a coin flip. So I don't think it's impossible. It's not likely. I mean, it's they're up against it here. And part of it is this is a really good team they're playing. This is not, yeah. And hey, they beat three good teams last year, but they were never in this position either. And I think that's it's part of the issue. It's going to be hard to overcome. I don't think it's impossible. It's not likely, but it's not something you just look at and say, oh, no way in hell.
Right. My guess is if Chris Sale's not ready to go, we see an Eduardo Rodriguez start, which Eduardo Rodriguez is good. He's a good strikeout pitcher, struck out over he had over 10 Ks per nine. I mean, that's a pretty good ratio this day and age. And he was a 13-win guy. He's not a bad pitcher. I mean, he's not Chris Sale.
Right.
But they have options if Sale can't go. My guess it's going to be – if Sale can't go, my guess would be it'll be Price tonight, then Rodriguez, and then likely, I would think, Eovaldi again, because Eovaldi looked really sharp in his first game against the Astros. I imagine they – if it came down to a game seven, who do we start? He's their guy. So the Red Sox have options, but you're right. I mean, tonight, I'm almost assuming they win tonight. I don't know that I feel any better about the rest of the series with or without Chris Sale. I mean, asking the Astros to go win two in a row at Fenway, it's not
ideal.
Not ideal for sure.
But, you know, again.
And honestly, I mean, who do you trust? What arm on this team do you trust right now besides Justin Verlander?
No, that's the thing. Cole wasn't great.
Cole wasn't good.
I think he'll be better this time. He should be. But that the other issue is what are you going to do about the bullpen? Because,
we haven't even talked about that. Everything surrounded the one play. After that was over, though, there was a lot of things that could have gone differently for the Astros. And I think both teams sort of mismanaged bullpens last night. The Red Sox, they were lucky to get away with it. The fact that they were sending Kimbrel out there in the last inning, I was like, man, every at-bat that he is there for is a gift to the Astros. And when he walks the base, and it's like, all right, here comes Bregman. Really? That you're gonna let this guy pitch to Bregman, this guy who's been just a guy for like the last couple months.
Yeah,
I think the Red Sox really lucked out there. But I think the Astros sending out – I think they pulled Presley too early. He looked like he was doing pretty well.
I
would have stuck with him
James
a little.
James out there too long.
Yeah, and then the last guy you can bring in with the bases loaded is Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he doesn't know how to throw a fastball anymore. I don't know what happened.
And he's a wild pitch machine.
Yeah, second in the league in wild pitches. Nowhere near the top in innings pitched. I mean, he's a wild pitch machine. And he just doesn't have great control of that curveball early on in games. He's pitched like two or three times in the last month. That's who you bring in with the bases loaded? It just didn't make much sense to me. But you know what are you going to do? You can't go back and fix it now. But McCullers does have to figure something out. If you're 3-0 and you've missed with three curveballs,
yeah,
you've got to have another pitch to get a strike. You cannot just walk a guy on four pitches that are all spiked curveballs. Another thing that will get overlooked because of the fan interference call. If you're Tyler White and you're asked to pinch hit with runners on, you can't just stare at those pitches go by you.
Yeah, especially when you get the same pitch back-to-back. You got to look at it once. Okay, fine. Now get the bat off
your
damn shoulder.
I saw you. Here I come. But he watched the exact same pitch go right
by
him. In
almost the exact same location.
And then he spun around like he couldn't believe that he just called that a strike. Dude, he called that a strike 8 seconds ago when he threw it the first time. So there was a couple spots where it was just like, man, what are you guys doing? You know, Tony Kemp, it's another spot. A lot of things didn't go right for the Astros last night. It didn't boil down to just one play. I will give them credit, though, because they fought their asses off.
They did.
They didn't let the call against them, put them out of the game. So I'm sure they still got some fight left in them. They need Alex Bregman to go back to being Alex Bregman. It's sad that, listen, it's baseball. You're going to have 0-for-4 days. That's life. I tell that to the 11-year-olds that I work with. Like, you're going to have days where you don't get a hit. That's just baseball. I tell my son that. It's going to happen all the way to the big leagues, And it's sad to say, but right now the Astros can't afford to have 0-for-4s from Bregman. They just can't. They can't fade it because there's not enough guys on this team hitting. And then tonight, inexplicably, in my opinion, Jake Marisnyk's in the lineup instead of Josh Reddick, Josh Reddick actually has shown some signs of life in the last couple games.
Been moderately useful. He hasn't been good, but he's been useful.
Very odd choices.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens.
All right, guys, let me tell you about Man Centers, the Y Factor presented by Man Centers. If you've got low testosterone, it can affect you in a lot of ways. Fertility can affect your drive. Like, you can feel sluggish at work. You don't feel great in the bedroom. Low testosterone can affect all those things. And Man Centers, they're not talking about testosterone injections. They're talking about focusing on enhancing your body's natural ability to produce its own testosterone again. Those synthetic injections can cause long-term damage, can cause dependency, damage fertility. It can cause shrinkage. You don't want that. They've got three spots in Houston to go check out. They can help you get your testosterone levels back up without the shots. In Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell there in the Memorial area off 249 in Tomball and now open in Webster. They've still got the free general male wellness checkup. It's $150 value. They'll check you out, check your levels for free. Give them a call today to set up an appointment, 832-358-8600, or go to mancenters.com to book online. It's Man Centers, the Y Factor presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Carbach. If you're just getting off work, get your butts out here, get yourself some beer, get yourself some food. Have a good time. Tomorrow will be at Prime Social. And then Monday, I think, are we at Jack's Grill again? Is that right?
Yeah. Believe so. Yes.
So we won't be back in studio for a while, which is fine. Hey, we're almost down to last call on the pub crawl. So if you haven't signed up yet, shame bell for you. We're doing it with It's a Houston Thing Saturday, and it'll be awesome because if there's a game six, which, you know, I'm sure there's going to be, you'll be able to watch it at whatever bar you want. There's 10 bars. You don't have to do them all. I'm certainly not doing all of them.
What?
I'll do a few.
All right.
I'll probably have more than 10 drinks, but I'm not going to do all 10 bars. But you can go and hang out at any of them, enjoy it. You get a really cool T-shirt. It's the limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone T-shirt. Pub crawl, wristband, cup, and koozie. You get samples of Thrive Plus, which is great, so you can get your drink on and then not be really sick the next day.
It's always good.
Yeah, I love that Thrive Plus. I will definitely be hammering that. And you get $3 drinks. You can't beat that. And I know a bunch of Blitzers, a bunch of friends are going to be there, so there'll be cool people there. Not me. I mean, I'll be there, but if you want really cool people.
You're cool enough, man.
I do okay. HTXpubcrawls.com. That's it. That counts for 50.
Barely.
I mean, it was pretty weak, I got to say. But, I think somebody says, I don't see why everybody's freaking out. Weren't we in this exact same spot last year with the Yankees? There's always a chance. No, you were down 3-2 against the Yankees, not 3-1. There's a little bit of a difference there. After tonight, it may be the same.
Well, and this Red Sox team
is better than,
that team.
Significantly.
I mean, there's no weak spots in their lineup. I mean, it's Jackie Bradley Jr. hits ninth, and he's just terrorizing everyone. There's no easy outs, and it's
and they're good defensively, and they're clutch, very much like the Astros. They're just doing it a little bit better right now, and there's a few things that are going their way that went the way of the Astros last year, which is why they won.
The Astros have better starting pitching, though, and I mean, if anything's going to bail them out of this thing, it's going to have to be that. You know, Verlander and Garrett Cole will just have to be what he was most of this season.
Yeah.
A dominant dude. And like it or not, Dallas Keuchel's probably going to have to pitch Game 7, at least a portion of Game 7, and he's going to have to go back to being Cy Young Dallas Keuchel.
And it's not impossible that any of this stuff happens. That's the thing. But I do believe – well, if it gets to a Game 7, yeah, besides Keuchel, I'm throwing Verlander. I'm throwing
everybody,
whoever I have to have. And that's why I think a Game 7 becomes really interesting if it gets that far. So, I mean, I think they have...
Although the downside to throwing Verlander in a Game 7 is you're likely not starting in Game 1 of the World Series.
No, but I think at that point you're trying to get there.
Get there.
And you'll adjust on the fly then. And that's, you know, you do what you have to do. But I think, you know, the games have been really entertaining, and the Astros aren't that far away from winning one. And if they win one, you know, at least then you go into Boston with a chance.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask for at this stage when you're down 3-1. So 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. We are out here at Carbach. And I think, you know, one thing, if you hate Joe West, you know, I'm going to give you another reason to hate Joe West. Remember, well, if you're a longtime listener of the show, like going back to the early days on Sunday, you might remember that we played a lot of that Joe West had a country album.
Yeah. It's more like a spoken word.
Yeah. Like there's a person on third base.
Yeah.
So if you already hate him, because I saw on Twitter, it's like, okay, all these Joe West thinks this stuff. Joe West thinks this is good music.
I said, how old are you, son? He said, I'm 14. I said, yeah? What year were you born? 1952. I'm not too good at math, but I knew that couldn't be right because that was the year I was born.
What?
Tommy Lasorda is another character of the game. One day I was working with Eric Gregg, who was a big, heavyset umpire, and not that I'm Jack LaLanne or anything, but... when we left the lineup cards at home plate with the plate umpire, we're going out to our positions, and Lasorda yelled out of the dugout, "Hey, Joe, when can I get you and Eric on this Slim Fast?" Because Tommy was this big, big supporter of Slim Fast, and when are you guys gonna get on Slim Fast? When can I help you lose some weight? So I yelled back at him. I said, "Tommy, Eric had 16 of those shakes today for lunch. I don't know that you can drink any more than that."
And that's from Joe West's album.
I mean, it's hard to beat.
Yeah. He's got one more album out than I do, so I can't really.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to be that critical of him, but yeah, I guess you could say I'm fat, and I've been on Slim Fast with Tommy Lasorda. I don't mean to be overly critical, but it's a song. Shouldn't there be some singing?
Usually that's how
because
it works.
That thing reminds me of the stuff Jim Morrison was doing before he died in France, where he was just doing poetry with music behind it, except that was actually, you know, made sense. But, yeah, so that, ladies and gentlemen, is your guy, Joe West. So, all right. I just thought your day needed to be ruined.
Thank you.
So, guys, I have to tell you about Lions Poker Palace. And, man, those guys run such a great place. If you haven't been there, it's fantastic. George will get you set up with any game you want. Najib, those guys, they do a fantastic job. Guess what they got going on this weekend, AJ?
Poker tournaments.
$31,000 guaranteed in total.
What?
Yep, you can go get a piece of $31,000 this weekend. The Friday night tournament, $6,000 guaranteed. How about this? Saturday at 1, $12,000 guaranteed. Sunday at 1, $10,000 guaranteed. And they have those $1,000 guaranteed sit and goes at noon every day. I was going to go today, and then I got busy with work stuff, but I will be out there next week for sure. And those are great. Three tournaments a day. And AJ, they have the kind of stuff you and I like to play, and it's just such a cool, classy place.
Yeah, they've got some of the noontime tournaments are like basically sit and goes, yeah. One table sit and goes, which is it kind of reminds you of the old days of being able to play poker online and you know 10 dudes sit down and three make money. And I miss that a lot. And Lions is bringing it back, guys. I could tell you about them all day. I could tell you about how great the food is, how great the room looks, how many TVs they have. But you got to see it for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue. Follow them on Facebook to get information about when the tournaments start. And we'll see you out there at Lions Poker Palace, 6134 Richmond Avenue.
Listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.